America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By honoring your sacred vocation of education, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. At Grand Canyon University, our online bachelor's, master's, and doctoral education degree programs allow you to balance online coursework with observational and hands-on experience in the field. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
And this is Joy 99.7 FM. It is a major developing story exposed. The case of the Electricity Company of Ghana that has tonight been indicted by the utilities regulator, PULC, for peddling falsehoods about the true cause of the Westling Power crisis. ECG had blamed the outages on 630 overloaded transformers across the country. Listen to the managing director of the ECG, Samuel Dubik Mahama.
Let's say the teams are putting together the transformers for the injections in the areas that are overloaded. When we are done and we are ready to go into a certain area, we publish it on our website, we publish it on our social media handles, we try to make it circulate on all platforms. So we do our best to make sure that when we are putting those schedules out, we circulate it on social media so that everybody is comfortable enough. You know, I first of all told you that around this time of the day, that is when you know how overloaded the transformers are. We were putting ourselves together to fix this problem. We have the requisite materials, we have the requisite tools to do the injections as quickly as possible. I know the engineering team puts out these notices. If my customers are saying they didn't get them, then I'm sorry. But all maintenance schedules are put out there. I keep saying there is no do so, but everybody wants to stay with the fact that there's do so. If there's do so, that means there's a generational gap or there's a generational problem. But we keep repeating that there's no generational issue. There's no generational issue. There's enough fuel. We are generating to the best of our ability. Now, with these localized issues, we realized how rampant they've become. You have a transformer sitting there, in your mind, it has 75% capacity. You go for routine servicing, you realize that it's now at about 95, 97. Immediately, so now what we've done is to actually find the pockets of areas that need immediate injection so that we can ease this burden on these areas as quickly as possible.
So that there is Samuel Dubik Mahama, is the managing director of the ECG. But today, a startling revelation by the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission, the PURC. In the report published last night, the commission concludes that ECG's claims that the outages were because of overloaded transformers was factually inaccurate. My colleague Kofi Ejay, data analyst with our research desk, joins me right now with details from this particular document. Now, Kofi, the ECG complied with the directive by the PRLC to submit evidence to back their claim that the outages were because of the 630 overloaded transformers. Now, the PRLC analyzed the evidence submitted by the ECG. What did they find?
Right, so Evans, an analysis of the data submitted showed that out of the 715 transformer details submitted, 31 were loaded less than 70%. 595, which is the majority, were loaded between 70 and 100%. And 89 were loaded above 100%.
So if you're looking at it strictly, technically, only 89 out of the 715 were overloaded.
Now, the data also submitted by ECG was further compared to the total outage data provided by ECG for the period January to March 18, 2024. Now, the commission established that 649 outage incidents occurred between 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. That's a peak time. And of these 649 outage incidents, only three were planned outages relating to transformers.
And this is important because the ECG notice they put out that referenced the overloaded transformers talked about us expecting outages between 7 p.m. and 11 p.m., which is what the PRLC is referring to. But PRLC says out of those 647 outages that were directly, according to the ECG, related to the transformers, they only found that only three of these plant outages actually related to transformers.
Absolutely. And then the analysis also showed that the majority of the outages between 7 to 11 p.m. were as a result of load management operation by GridCo and faults related to overloaded transformers.
Now, faults unrelated.
Unrelated to overloaded transformers. So it's as a result of GridCo and faults unrelated to overloaded transformers. Now, the ECG's attribution of the outages between 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. to transformer overload was therefore not factually accurate. Now, the causes of these outages are subject of investigation already being taken by the commission.
Okay, so the commission is currently investigating. They've come to the conclusion that it's not because of overloaded transformers. Yeah. But they're now investigating. So what really is the cause? They're giving us an indication that the outages you've experienced is down to GridCo's own challenges and faults that are not related to transformers. But also in this particular document, Kofi, we are now also getting a better picture of the extent of the doomsaw and the outages experienced this year and how ECG, according to the PRLC, failed to comply with the law to notify consumers even when the outages were planned.
Well, so Evans, the commission has established from its analysis of data submitted by ECG that there were 4,142 outages to consumers within ECG's operational areas between January and March 2024.
And that's a period under review. And that one we saw, it's a jaw-dropping number. If 4,142 outages.
Well, if you do the math, that's about 40 outages per day.
40 outages per day.
Yeah, that's within the period under review. Now, out of this number, 165 representing 3.98%, which is not even up to 4% of the total outages were ECG's planned outages. Now, further analysis showed that out of the 165 ECG planned outages, 40 were supported by public notices, while there were no notices for the remaining 125 outages. Now, further, 38 out of the 40 notices did not comply with the requisite 3-day statutory notice prescribed under the regulation 39 of the LI 2413. Now, this indicates that in 163 instances of the planned outages, ECG did not comply with the law.
Yeah, I mean, these are really startling numbers. So beginning to appreciate what really is happening across the country when it comes to the power outages. 4,142 outages in the space of 3 months.
3 months.
January to March, recorded by the ECG that the PRLC is now telling us about, with backing that with the evidence.
Yeah.
Now, we're also getting some clarity about the sheer number of bank accounts and investments operated by ECG, which has been a major concern for players in the power sector, especially as it relates to transparency with the cash waterfall mechanism. And we know that to be the pool of revenue from which all players in the value chain gets paid. Well, what are we learning there?
Well, so Evans, let's go to the document put out by the PRLC, and they say ECG submitted details of 61 bank accounts to the commission, together with instructions to the banks to furnish the commission with the requested details. Now, by the expiry of the deadline, the commission had only received details of 36 out of the 61 accounts submitted by ECG.
Okay, so 61 accounts they found. But this is important also because there is an IMF program that references bank account when it comes to ECG and how it manages revenues that it collects from all of us. What does that program say? We came to some agreement with the IMF on how we're going to organize the ECG accounts. Well, what does that say?
Well, this is part of the new structural benchmarks that we reached with the IMF. Now, if you go to page 17 and 18 of the IMF Article 4 review, which is 2023, like a complementary, you know, document to the IMF program, it states that the government updated the Energy Sector Recovery Program, which is the ESRP, structural benchmark. It's a new one. Now, it lays out wide-ranging structural reforms to reduce shortfalls and settle legacy arrears. Now, pending implementation of the reforms and renegotiation of arrears to avoid power supply interruption, the ESRP also spells out a short-term payment regulation between ECG and IPPs, which would detail, you know, prioritization of flat monthly payment of sufficient to cover energy sector purchases costs. Now, if you look at page 18, which talks about, you know, how ECG is supposed to comply with this. Now, according to the IMF, now the ESRP proposes to merge ECG's sub-account into a single collection account. This account will be audited on a quarterly basis, and the authorities will publish the final report of July to September 2023 and audit it by February 2024. Now, this report will highlight audit findings concerning, you know, purchase invoices, revenue collection from ECG customers, and disbursement to IPPs, SOEs, and fuel suppliers under the cash waterfall mechanism.
So the agreement was that merge this into a single account so it can be audited. It makes it easy to reference, but also easy to track what is coming in and what is going out. PBLC says they found 61 bank accounts. And even those bank accounts, they say that just over 30 of them have responded in terms of the details that they were requiring. But let's talk, since we're talking about cash waterfall, because that's really why the agreement was reached with the IMF to reduce the accounts into one. What did the PRLC find when it comes to how the cash waterfall mechanisms has been handled by the ECG? We're learning a bit more about how much they owe, but how much they're left to pay in when it comes to what they were supposed to comply with from the PRLC's directive.
So the commission was very categorical. According to them, ECG partially complied with the commission's order by honoring its obligation under the cash waterfall mechanism. And in fact, this is under the category B for March 2024. And we know that the cash waterfall mechanism has two categories. The category A has the IPPs and B mostly state-owned enterprises which supply energy. Now, the amount of 444.3 million Ghana cedis will have to be paid by ECG for August 2023 to February 2024, however, remains outstanding. To meet the PRC benchmark collection ratio of 98%, ECG should have collected tariff revenue approximately 8.8 billion Ghana cedis based on the company's declared sales. Now, to satisfy the temporary measures agreed under the cash waterfall mechanism, ECG was expected to collect 7 billion Ghana cedis to be allocated to sector players along the electricity supply value chain, which is category A and B. Now, Evans, however, the total tariff revenue ECG declared to the cash waterfall mechanism to be allocated to both category A and B beneficiaries was 4.9 billion Ghana cedis. And now, out of this amount, 446.3 million Ghana cedis to be allocated to the category B beneficiary remains unpaid by ECG.
Okay, and the PRLC is now imposing sanctions. One of the key sanctions as it relates to the cash waterfall, they've now been ordered to pay 446.2 million cedis before or by 30th April 2024.
Absolutely.
Now, in the event of failure to pay the set amount on this date, the board members and management of ECG shall be held liable. In other words, they will be compelled to pay this amount from their own pockets. Yeah. And so that's what the PRLC is saying there in terms of the penalty imposed on ECG for partially complying with this directive. Mm-hmm. Now, they have to pay 446 million into the cash waterfall. If you don't do that by 30th of April, the board members will pay themselves. Then also, there is the failure to comply with the bank statements. There's a penalty that has been imposed.
No, so Evans, that failure to submit details of all bank accounts to the commission by the stated date, the commission hereby imposes an initial regulatory charge of 3,000 penalty units on ECG in accordance with the regulation 45 of the LI 2413, amounting to 36,000 Ghana cedis.
And they don't stop. They didn't stop there on this particular one, because as we now know, this 36,000, they have to pay it by the 22nd of April.
Yeah.
And this is just next week. They have less than 6 days. They have less than 7 days for them to pay this amount. Now, if they fail to do this, for every day that the requested details remain outstanding, the ECG shall pay an additional regulatory charge of 3,000. So this is going to increase if they fail to meet
it's
this particular detail. And then let's talk about the bits that everybody has been asking for, the load management timetable. As we know, the PRLC have told us already that they failed to comply with that directive, to produce that load management timetable, to govern the transformers that he had claimed that the PRLC now says is false. Produce it, they failed it, right? The PRLC is imposing some hefty sanctions that the board members will have to bear. How much are we talking about here?
Well, so we are talking about some 5.9 million Ghana cedis. Now, according to the PRLC, they are imposing a 3,000 penalty unit on ECG for each of the 163 breaches that amounted to the money I mentioned, 5.9 million Ghana cedis. Now, they were contemplating whether they should put this charge or this fine on ECG itself or the board members. Now, this was the fine, you know, the conclusion that they reached. According to the PRLC, if they had placed this on the ECG, would have affected, ECG's, financial
bottom
situation.
Line, in other words, ECG will have to pay with the monies we give it.
Absolutely. That's the reason why they decided to put this on each of the board members. Now, according to the PRC, board members are to pay into a dedicated fuel account under the joint control of the Ministry of Energy and the Ministry of Finance on or before 30th May 2024. Now, the commission will validate compliance in tandem with the cash waterfall validation report and periodically regulatory monitoring.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By honoring your sacred vocation of business, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. At Grand Canyon University, our MBA degree program is 100% online, with emphases in business analytics and finance to help you reach your goals. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
That's according to the PRLC.
No, there's a lot there to unpack when it comes to what the PRLC has done today with the ECG and the sanctions they've imposed and the findings that they basically told us on truths when they told us that the outages you're experiencing was largely down to transformers. I want to bring in Ishmael Ejukumhene, and the Ishmael Ejukumhene is a commissioner at PRLC, but also executive director of KITE, at the Kumasi Institute of Technology, Energy and Environment. I am also delighted to say that I've been joined by Dr. Kwabena Donko, who is a power minister, former power minister under the John Mahama administration. But I want to start with Mr. Ejukumhene, because he definitely has more insight into this than any of us do. And I'm grateful that Mr. Ejukumhene, you can join me on this conversation. I see your signature as part of the commissioners who signed this particular document on the subject of the what you found, what the commission found, that the true cause of the outages isn't overloaded transformers, but outages attributed to Gridco, but also something other than the transformers. You've indicated that you are investigating the true cause. Where are you in finalizing that particular investigation?
Good evening, Ivan, and good evening to your listeners. So, I mean, as other in the industry, the total of 130 transformers. So, to go to conclude all the investigations, we need to visit reasonable enough for them to be able to understand exactly what they do. So they continue to be under investigation. I'm sure, pretty sure, before maybe the end of this month, we'll be in a position to definitely come out with a thing. But I guess the issues here in the area, from what Grinko and ECG themselves are saying, they appear to be blaming each other, but Grinko was the first representative Minister of Energy, and ECG also responded. So it's quite clear that it's got something to do with load management, which is out there. But our issue was that we were surprised when we heard about the 630 transformers because we hadn't been told by ECG. And so we demanded further and better particulars, and then they provided the information, sent out resources to go around, and we didn't kind of confirm what they had told. So we decided, if you look at the order, it said solidly in law with said relevant.
Unfortunately, we're having this interruption with your line. I'm going to call you on a better line, hopefully, so we can hear you. But meanwhile, I want to bring in Dr. Kwamnah Dunko. Doc, give me your reaction to this report by the PULC. Yes, Dr. Kwamnah Dunko.
Yes, the report is refreshing. It throws in a bit more of light into the public domain. Now, that is not surprising to some of us who have been in the industry. Virtually everything in that report we have stated. And so it's just validating what we've been saying, that one, there is inadequate generation. Let's make it clear. If you say you are blaming Grinko, putting it on Grinko, Grinko does not generate. Grinko is a transmission utility. For lack of a better expression, I say Grinko is a kayai. Grinko will only carry the load that has been given. We have two major generators in this country, VRA and IPPs, independent power producers. So if they are not generating enough, Grinko cannot supply you enough. So if Grinko tells ECG and or NETCO that reduce your consumption, you reduce your uptake, and they don't, Grinko is forced to come in to do it for them. Other than that, there will be a systems collapse. Let's also appreciate the fact that ECG is responsible for 46% of the land mass of Ghana. NETCO is responsible for 64% of the land mass. By ECG's 46% covers around 80% of all power consumption. So that is very important. ECG is not responsible for the whole country. It's so important because I heard your researcher talking about the country. But for me, the exciting thing about this is PULC, the economic regulator, fining or sanctioning directors rather than the corporate body.
You agree with that approach?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My only reservation is the quantum.
You think it's too small, too high? Honey?
It's too high. I was so jubilate if each director was fined even 10,000 CDs each. Because at this time, the most critical thing is the principle that directors can be held personally and collectively liable. We can remove the veil, the corporate veil, and attack directors personally. Too often, people have assumed that directorships in state enterprises are just rewards for party faithfulness. But directors have duties enshrined by law. One of the biggest challenges for state enterprises, and I'm taking this angle because I'm also the ranking member on state enterprises, is the poor corporate governance. there are directors who hardly ever attend board meetings. Then there are instances where instructions are taken from outside the board by management. This will send the right signal to whether Jubilee House or Flagstaff House that you cannot run state enterprises by proxy.
Stay with me. The commissioner is back on the line with me, Ishmael Ejekunhin. I want to ask him about that. Mr. Ejekunhin, so what went into the computation of the 5.8 million CDs that the directors will now have to cough up themselves?
I think the order is quite clear on that. We looked at the number of breaches that were not consistent with the regulation, and there is a multiplied by a number of penalty points. So that's the simple computation that we did, and we acted based on the advice from our legal director.
Since this was issued, have you heard anything back from the board itself?
I wouldn't know, because the communication will go to the secretariat. So we haven't been briefed as to whether there's been any response, except that we know that the order has been received because somebody received it at ECJ.
And I noticed that this is going to be paid into an account that everybody else can monitor. Is this the cash waterfall account?
Well, it's one of the, one of the single accounts that is being created. As you can see, PRC is not going to benefit from the fine. We are not even a signatory on that account. And the whole idea is that if we can get some money to build that fund and get liquid fuels as and when necessary, that's what informed the decision as to where the payment should be made.
And the reason why you fined them is because in this particular case, it relates to their failure to comply with the directive to produce a load management schedule to govern the time that we had the outages when they said it was because of overloaded transformers. Do you still expect that timetable still be produced, or because now they've gone past that, you take the money and that issue is retired?
Yeah, so we know as part of the regulatory monitoring, it's an ongoing monitoring exercise that we do. The reason why we zoomed in on the 6:30 was because of the public statement the managing director made. We needed to very quickly step in to understand what was going on. So if that is not an issue, then what it means is that reason is not tenable. So we need to really get to the bottom of the problem so that we address the problem.
And I'm curious, on the subject of the true cause of the outages that we saw, you've said factually it is not because of overloaded transformers. You found that was factually inaccurate. In other words, what you're telling us is that ECG lied to us. Is there a penalty for that?
Yeah, it's part of the sanction. If you provide false information to the regulator. So if we read the order carefully, there are three different infractions that we are asking them to, we are penalizing ECG and or their board on that. Yes, so if you look at the act, the order, yes, that is also being penalized.
So the penalties I see here, you're penalizing them for the tariff revenue collection, the cash waterfall, their failure to fully comply with that directive. Then you're also penalizing them for their failure to submit all the details relating to the banks that they operate. And then you're also punishing them for the failure to publish the notifications and submit same to you, which you ordered for. I haven't seen one directly related to the falsehoods they peddled around the true cause of the outages.
It's in there, because if the outages were not planned, if we say that we are the transformers are overloaded and we are reinjecting, then it means that it should have been planned outage. And if it's a planned outage, then the law says that you need to give 3 days notice before you can take out the supply. So they are all linked. And if you take your time and read it, yes, some of the the sanctions are actually related to the information we received and how we were not satisfied with the answers.
So is it safe to say that this is priced into the 5.8 million that the directors will have to pay?
Yes, kind of.
And I need to ask you, it's very rare, and Dr. Kwamanonko says it's refreshing. It's extremely rare to see PLC bite this hard. You're really biting hard. In fact, to the point where Dr. Kwamanonko says he believes the 5.8 is high-handed. You agree?
I think the numbers behind the computation we've demonstrated why we did that. That's the commission's decision, and I think it was well thought through. So let's see how they react to that.
Okay, I say that because in Ghana we know what happens to the PLC and regulators when they bite this hard. Rarely do they bite, if they want to bite at all. But you, that's not biting. You've bitten very hard. You can expect, some may expect, that the system may come after yourselves. Has that been factored in at all, yourselves and the others on the commission?
Evans, yes. I mean, we knew it was a difficult job when we were asking. We remember some of the things that we were told when we were swearing in that we have a tough work. So there's nothing personal. I mean, we are just enforcing the law, and we need to be sure. We need to make sure that the right things are done. It's nothing personal, and I mean, whatever happens, yeah, we've signed up to do this work as regulators.
You anticipating, are you not, that the political system will react to this?
I mean, I wouldn't even try to get into their minds. But if what we've done, it's based on law, so.
Dr. Kwamanonko, you are a politician true and true. Do you believe that the system will allow this to play out until everybody else complies and pays the amount, considering the sheer level of exposure that has now come to this issue? Now we know this is a doom. So more than 4,000 outages. You think the system will sit back and allow this to play out?
Well, I don't know what you mean by the system.
Oh, the political
system. Are you talking about the executive?
Yeah, the executive. Yes, the executive of government.
PUIC reports directly to the office of the president. It's part of the executive arm, and I doff my hat off for PURC for insisting. Yes, as Ajiku Mine said, it was based on the penalty points, but PURC can have the discretion. Instead of 3,000 penalty points, they can lower the penalty points. I want to see how this plays out. ECG directors can appeal. They can appeal to PURC for mitigation, or they can even use the courts. It's important we go through this to develop what I will call good corporate governance practices. But back to the real issue of load shedding, it is important that we agree that at the point where PURC issued these directives, we were load shedding. There was under generation, and so we were rationing power. I can appreciate where the ECG management was coming from, trying to be more political than the politicians, trying to present ECG and the best foot forward. But we owe a duty of care to be factual, both in politics and in public life. And for me, this is so...
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By honoring your sacred vocation of business, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. At Grand Canyon University, our MBA degree program is 100% online, with emphases in business analytics and finance to help you reach your goals. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.